Hi, this is Josh Fonger, and welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help business owners move from owning a job to owning a business, mastering their systems so that they can simplify growth. And today, I have a special guest, Dan Cushell, with Breakthrough 3X and Growth to Freedom. Dan is a husband, dad, serial entrepreneur, and angel investor. He helps business owners connect the dots, see the blind spots, and get unstuck by helping to implement unique sales and marketing systems to get more clients, growth, and profits, and have a bigger impact, reach, and contribution. With over 25 years of business experience, he started 11 companies, bought and sold multiple companies, and coached over 5,329 businesses. Business owners from over 180 niches and 9 countries. Wow. He was recently rated as the top 25 influencer by Influencer, and his podcast was recommended for ultra lean businesses in Forbes. All right. So welcome, Dan. Let's get started from the beginning. Tell us about your story. Tell us about how you got into this line of work. Start there.
Awesome. First of all, it's a privilege to be with you and the Work the System community, Josh. And we'll have some fun. So my journey started all the way back in the late 80s. Uh-huh. I was introduced to direct response marketing by my sister, in fact. She got me a job for a direct mail company, and it also did TV and radio. And for me, it was a part-time thing while I was going to school. My main focus back then, my dream was to play pro baseball, and it didn't quite work out. You know, I talk about injuries, but really I probably just didn't have the talent. But I got fascinated by direct response marketing, Josh, and how you could put a message on paper or on TV or on radio, and people would respond to it quickly, and they'd send you money. So I started studying it. It was like my PhD. I got fascinated. I started investing in education and self-development and coaching and programs and so on. And since that time, I then started my first company out of college. I was in my senior year of college, and I just said, what if I just get this rolling? So I started a company to help health club owners generate more business, generate more clients, and we had a nice surge of success. And then fast forward to today, 11 companies later, I'm grateful and blessed that I get to help business owners grow and scale with less stress by implementing unique marketing and sales systems.
Mm-hmm. Well, so tell me about some of the secrets, because you started off really young and having success and getting out there and selling and growing. And I know a bit more about your background than probably most do. What did you do different that other people just weren't doing?
Well, at the time, you know, first of all, for whatever reason, I think this is a trait of an entrepreneur. If you're listening or watching right now, do you find yourself like looking at things differently than everybody else, right? Chances are, being a part of Josh's community and the work the system community, you probably look at things differently. So I think one of the things, Josh, for me, is I look at things just a little bit differently, right? Mm-hmm. And look at ways to do less or do more with less, or, you know, how 3 degrees can help increase results by 100 times or 10 times or a few times, right? So for me back then, in this direct mail company I was at, you know, I wasn't someone to be complacent. I also, you know, probably like you and probably like many of your listeners who are entrepreneurs, I am driven by growth, always have to be growing, right? And innovating and in many ways disrupting things and testing and challenging the status quo. So when I was in this direct response, direct mail company, they worked with health clubs. And I was like, I think I can have a better mousetrap. And so, like, if you were the club owner, first of all, I learned a valuable lesson about having an irresistible offer. It's the number one challenge that most businesses have, is they don't have an irresistible offer. Mm-hmm. Because when you have an irresistible offer, then it's less about selling and it's more about adding value. So, like, if you were the health club owner, I'd come to you, Josh, and I'd go, hey, if we could come to you, Josh, and our company would generate a couple hundred clients in the next 90 days or less, and it won't cost you anything up front, and my company will run direct mail for you, radio for you, and TV for you, and then if we generate profits, then we'll split those profits. Would you be open to that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Easy sell.
So I learned a valuable lesson about an irresistible offer all the way back then, right? And fast forward to today, you know, our goal is to work with business owners to help them come up with their irresistible offer, number one. The second thing that we did, because, you know, then, like, if you're facing competition, which many of you probably are, and as things go on, you know, many of our businesses become more commoditized and timed, and so on. So how do you differentiate? So that's the other part, is how do you differentiate yourself? How do you make yourself unique? Sally Hogshead says it well, it's better to be different than better. Like everybody goes around and says, I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. It's like a parrot. I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. So instead of trying to compete on better, which everybody's trying to compete on, how about focusing on the slight angle of that, which is being different, being unique. This is how we're different. This is how we're unique. So again, I learned this at a young age, almost by accident, but I ran with it and took massive action. And so our unique approach was like, if you were the owner, you know, hey, Josh, do you have a team, a small team or a big team? Yes. Well, how great would it be if you could evaluate all your team on their ability to influence and generate revenue for you? Would you be open to that? Well, what we do differently is we're actually going to rate your team on their ability to sell and influence, because everybody's in sales in one way or another, and we have an assessment. So what I did is I hired a programmer from Apple who had cashed in stock at the time. His name was Cyrus. He lived in Silicon Valley all the way back in the 90s, and he wrote a custom program for us that was essentially a sales assessment where you would take it and it would evaluate, and we itemized 7 categories like prospecting, presenting, closing, handling objections, et cetera. So in 7 categories, it was about 40 questions, and then it would spit out like your strengths and weaknesses. And now we had a before picture. And then while we were working with this particular client, which generally lasted anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, we were incorporating our sales training system, right? Because on one end, we would feed you a fish, right? It was a feed a fish model or an agency model to drive sales. But on the other end, it was, we were teaching you to fish, right? That old adage, you know, the spiritual biblical principle that says, you know, teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime, feed a man a fish, feed him for a day. So we did both, which was unique in the market, right? We were able to do some really cool things. And then, you know, after some time, because I really, you know, I by accident kind of fell into some of these strategies from a marketing point of view that worked. I wasn't a good business person. Mm-hmm. And so I was in a partnership with a friend, and he liked our bank account more than I did at one point and emptied it, and I had to regroup and start all over again. Right?
Right.
So that was my starting point all the way back then. But a couple of valuable lessons came out of that, you know, carry forward and still apply today.
Wow. Well, I certainly, with the 11 companies and everyone else you've worked with, I'm sure you've got a lot of great stories. Let's get to what you distilled your stories into, because I know you've got some kind of a blueprint you do with your clients. Like, what is the blueprint? And maybe this irresistible offer and the differentiate yourself is part of it. But what is that blueprint you would work through with a standard client to get them to that growth?
So let's speak about the offer, because each business component has a slightly different and unique blueprint. But let's talk about, we call it the 4 steps to create your irresistible offer, or what we call the unique MO, right? At your mode of operating. So your unique MO, there's 4 parts to it. And I'll share like the framework, and then I'll give you a couple examples of case studies. So the first part of that blueprint is getting really clear on your unique market, right? The second part of it is your unique message. Like, what is it that you can say and only you can say? Not, you know, so in other words, staying out of being like everybody else or having the chance to be commoditized. So your unique message. Then the next is your unique method. Similarly, how do you deliver it differently than anybody else? And then the fourth part is your unique, what is that unique offer that you're putting out there? So for example, there's a great company out there, and I've actually unpacked and reviewed over 4,000 companies in the last couple of years and really tuned in on like what works and what doesn't in company offers and so on. And that's where we came up with this hierarchy. But one company we looked at is a company that's, this year will do close to $100 million, right? Mm-hmm. One of the most commoditized industries in the world, the coffee business. And so the gentleman that runs the company, his name is Dave Asprey. Mm-hmm. And Dave, when he got started, and again, it's our assessment. So looking at his unique market, he started with fitness enthusiasts who love drinking coffee. Mm-hmm. That had never been done before, exploited before, right? His unique message to that market was get fit and drink coffee. Mm-hmm. That message had never been done before. His unique method of how he achieved that result was something called adding grass-fed butter to coffee, right? Now, even if you don't use his very specific product or products today, if you're applying the principle of adding grass-fed butter to coffee or other stuff, you are using his strategy. He didn't invent that himself, but because he named that process and that method, he gets credit for it. Mm-hmm. And then his unique offer is a company in a process called Bulletproof Coffee, which now is transcended into something called Bulletproof 360, mm-hmm. right? So his company is, you know, going to do $100 million a year by really getting clear on each of these areas, right? And putting them out in the market. Like one of our clients that we had worked with, Josh, is a company called Genius Network run by a great guy, Joe Polish. Mm-hmm. So Joe, and I think you know Joe, we're both local, but Joe, you know, is one of the best influencers in the world and one of the most connected people in the world. And so if you look at his business, his unique market are entrepreneurs building or running a business at least at $1 million a year, mm-hmm. right? That had never been really focused on before with a slight nuance. They also value contribution as a value and collaboration, right? Getting mm-hmm. that specific in the market is critical, right? The second key thing is like the unique message. So his unique message is reducing suffering for entrepreneurs. No one had ever really taken that distinct approach to it. Mm-hmm. And his unique method is something called Genius Networking. And we're doing Genius Networking right now. We're applying the principle. We all have a version of our Genius Network, and we're in the process of Genius Networking to help each other, right? Mm-hmm. And then his unique offer is something called Genius Network, right? Which is a high level, high profile group where you get to work and, you know, lean into all these connections, pay a high fee to do that. But it's speed of connection, right?
Yep.
In his program. So as you're listening or you're watching right now, what is your unique market? Now, there's a tendency. Let me also speak to the myths, right, Josh?
Uh-huh.
The mistakes that people make with this process. People will go, oh, my unique market is everyone. Wrong answer. Like it's too broad. If it's everyone, it's no one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a comfort scenario where sometimes as a creative genius, which if you're listening or watching, you probably are at some level, that you may feel a little restricted if you go, oh, I got to narrow down my market. Mm-hmm. But the reality is from our not only research, but also, again, working with thousands of clients directly, we have found that when you niche down, you actually will grow out of that niche.
Mm-hmm.
But if you niche down first, you grow out of that niche faster, not slower. But if you mm-hmm. try to go to everybody, it's typically a very arduous process. So I challenge you as you're watching or listening to really narrow down your niche down so you can grow and scale up.
Mm-hmm.
Second part is your unique message. Again, think of it in terms of what can you say that only you can say to help solve a problem, and that's critical. What is the problem you solve in your market? You know, next time somebody asks you at a networking meeting or a program, they go, well, what do? Instead of launching and firing hosing like the big solution you provide, start by asking a question related to the big problem someone in your industry faces. So for example, if someone asked me today, well, what do? You know how a lot of people struggle to get a steady flow of new clients, Josh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you ask them back a question, hey, you're identifying if they're tuned in, and if they right. say yes, then you can go into your, call it your mini elevator presentation, right? Mm-hmm. But if they don't, or they're like glossed over, they look like a deer in the headlights, well, they're not a right fit. So you don't have to spend and invest the time, right? Mm-hmm. So do you know how, think of the problem in your niche,
uh-huh.
and then when they say yes, then again, speak to the solution that you provide in very simple language. You know, so for example, our version is, well, a lot of people struggle to generate a set. Yep. Well, what we do is we help business owners and entrepreneurs generate a steady flow of new clients predictably and systematically using automated marketing and selling. And it allows them so they can go out and have a bigger reach, a bigger impact, a bigger contribution so that they can spend less time in the business day to day and more time on the things they really enjoy in their business, including being with their family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a version. So that's like a unique message piece, the unique method of how you deliver it. This is an exercise, and we actually have a process, Josh, like you have a lot of processes, which are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We have a process that we guide people through to actually go through this and get clarity on your unique process of how you deliver an outcome, right? Mm-hmm. Like Genius Network, for example. Genius Network has a 5-step approach to get what Joe calls the return on genius. It's your 5-step return on genius process. So with your unique processes, you're listening or watching right now, what is your 3, 4, or 5-step process of how you deliver the outcome to your particular client or industry, right? Mm-hmm. And again, there's a lot of time that you could invest in that, but think of the unique pieces of how the think of your client journey and how you help them get some kind of a result with your service or your product. And now package that and start talking about it. And, you know, Dan Sullivan of Strategic Coach, who's a master and a big fan of Dan's work, he says, when you name the game, you own the game. So one, you want to name your game, right? And if you're in doubt, call it the return on and then the name of your process, right? Or the name of your offer. Start at least the starting point. And then think of 4 critical or 5 critical steps in your client journey of how, you know, it might include a launch. It might include like access to certain tools. Think of it in terms of the things people want. You know, some people call this the triangle approach or the triad approach to getting a breakthrough, which is people want some kind of support. Mm-hmm. People want some kind of accountability, right? And they want some kind of interaction or collaboration, right? So what are 3, 4, or 5 steps that are unique and how you can describe it? And in the unique process, not to get too much in the weeds here, but if you even name each of the 3, 4, or 5 steps that support, in other words, look at them like pillars on a Parthenon that support the roof, right? Mm-hmm. If you can name even those in an architecture, that helps add value to what it is that you do. Like one of the best in the world that I learned from in my very early years, a guy named Jay Abraham, mm-hmm. a legend. He's been a coach to coaches and, you know, Tony Robbins and all kinds of people in marketing. He calls this, I'm drawing a total blank on his naming convention of this, but essentially it's the Parthenon approach. Uh-huh. To business, right, is one part of it. And then there's another part, preeminence. So you mm-hmm. want preeminence, which is his word. That's kind of a too many syllable word for a guy like me. But Jay really, really brings clarity to the idea of how you position yourself with preeminence, mm-hmm. right? You're the only choice. Instead of one of many, you're the only one. And this process, by the way, this 4-step process we've just gone through, done right, will allow you to have a good plan, by the way. It'll give you positioning. It'll package you well. Then it makes it much easier for you to promote your business using automated systems or marketing and selling. And then ultimately you have profitability and progress as a result. So,
wow. Well, I was taking a lot of notes right there just to kind of go through and analyze what we do here at the Work of the System, because a lot of clarity there. Hopefully those of you listening to this, if you're in a car, you can pull over, take some notes, maybe listen to this again, because just taking some time to reflect on this, that's what I'm going to do. I told you I'm going to jump on an airplane in a few minutes here. It can be very valuable to clarifying your marketing. Well, this is great. So,
And by the way, John, let me interject this too. Even if I go, let's go a little simpler even, because that was a lot of higher of tips and strategies. So I want to even simplify it. If you pull out a $1 bill and a $100 bill, right? Mm-hmm. And you put them on top of each other and hold them in your hand, and you look at them, right? A dollar, what's the difference between a $1 bill and a $100 bill, right? So first of all, here are a couple insights about them. They're both the exact same size. They're mm-hmm. both the exact same weight, right? Mm-hmm. They both have the same color ink on the paper, right? Maybe as you're watching or listening right now, you probably have others in your industry that they claim they do the same thing you do. Mm-hmm. They claim they're using the same color ink that you do. They claim that they're the same weight as you or more, right? But the reality is they weigh the same, they have the same color ink, and they're the same exact size. The difference between the $1 and $100 bill is what? It's the message mm-hmm. on the paper. When you can tell a better story, when you can have your better message, you can elevate yourself to be 100 times greater value than a single dollar bill. And that's what this 4-step process can give you the ability to do. One of our recent clients is in the stem cell bit. We literally took him through our entire process, and his business has more than doubled since we put this process in place. He's let go of a lot of the lower level clients, and he's only working with his prime focus clients, the ones he really wants. Dan Sullivan called, who do you want to be a hero to? So there are a lot of benefits by, you know, taking this mindset or this approach to it overall. But how can you put yourself in a position where you go from, say, a $1 value to a $100 value. It's that message, and this four-step process gives clarity to that.
So let's talk about the listeners that are listening to this right now, and a lot of them have small businesses and they're hearing this. What is the roadblock for entrepreneurs who hear this and they never actually put it into reality? Is it because they can't, you know, make this work in their brains, or they can't figure out how to do the copywriting or the messaging, or what holds back the standard entrepreneur from actually making that shift from the $1 message to the $100 message? Is there a mental roadblock?
Absolutely. And if I had to pinpoint, I think it's the mental roadblock, Josh, you know, from a lot of the interviews that we've done, thousands of them, mm-hmm. with different business owners and all kinds of niches and industries. It's the roadblock of, like, even what is selling, huh? and what is marketing.
Okay.
Right. You know, there's just a misunderstanding. And so here's a simple way to think about it. I think that may add clarity, help. Like, if you're listening or watching, you feel a little stuck around, ooh, selling is a little bit like awkward, or it's, you're not comfortable, or even you despise it, right? Mm-hmm. Or similar with marketing. So you just give a little bit of a framework. So what is selling to you? And I encourage you to think about that answer right now. Like, what's the first thing that hops in your head and your heart about what is selling? Okay. And when I say, what is marketing? What's the first thing that pops in your head and your heart? Well, what if you shifted that mindset to be something like, well, what is selling? Selling is serving. Right. One of my first mentors, his name is Tom Hopkins. He's also here locally now as well. I got a chance to learn from him in the early years in the late 80s. And he said, all selling is helping people. So that was my conditioning. It was my DNA. It was my upbringing. So, of course, I think selling is pretty cool. Like, I don't believe anything happens without selling. Mm-hmm. But some people have this resistance to it. So, but what if you shifted your mindset and your heart space around selling, and you just looked at selling as serving? On the other end, what is marketing? Marketing is storytelling about your business. That's all it is. It's just like if you recommend a good movie, you're telling a story. If you're talking to a friend about a TV program, you're telling a story. If you're talking about, I mean, those who tell better stories about themselves and their businesses are the ones who win. So if you look at it that way, it kind of lowers the resistance, it lowers the barrier, it opens up your heart to really then be able to go out and have a bigger impact. So if I had to say what's the biggest thing, it would be this misunderstanding or the myths around what is selling and what is marketing. Mm-hmm. The old method, by the way, and I get it. I know people, for good reason, by the way, have sometimes a bad framing around selling and marketing. But guess what? As you're listening, right, if you're a part of Josh's community, you've got a chance to transform that energy. Mm-hmm. To really go out and, you know, be a state inducer. That's also what we do, is we create states in other people with, you know, storytelling or with serving. So what kind of impact do you want to have? You get to dictate that as well.
Very good. This is awesome. Taking a lot of notes here. I've got a little bit tangential comment. This is based on some of my client work right now where I'm having this difficulty. What do you do in a company where the sales and the marketing have really connected themselves to the owner, and the owner actually has to drive the sales, the owner has to drive the marketing, the owner actually has to be in the middle of it, and they want to grow a sales team, and they're having trouble translating that? What would you suggest that they do? Is it because they haven't really gotten their messaging right, or what? And because an owner has, and that's kind of a hard thing for the owner to move from being an owner, CEO, from a salesperson where they've been for the last 10 years.
Yeah. It's the old adage, you know, you're a technician in your business, right? Huh? Instead of the owner of a business. And, you know, does the business own you, or do you own the business? You know, another framework to think about is, you know, what part do you really want to play? Like, if you continue to do what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always got. So if you want to be the salesperson forever in your business and be the only one responsible for your income, so you can never take time off, never have time with your family, never be able to enjoy the fruits of your labor, then keep doing it. I mean, what's it costing you? I would challenge you to think, what is it costing you staying in that role, wearing that hat in your business? On the other hand, if you go, ooh, okay, you're getting a little direct with me. I feel you. I feel you, Dan. I feel you, Josh. Well, then if you're ready to make the shift and you want to transform so that you own the business, I can totally relate to this. Truth be told, in my early years, I had a real tough time. And again, interviewing and reviewing thousands of businesses over the years, Josh, I have found there's another misunderstanding and myth that almost every business owner deals with, because it's the one trait, the DNA trait that it seems, at least in my observation, that all entrepreneurs have. I haven't found anybody who doesn't, and that's letting go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the hardest thing for any business owner to do, from my experience. And then it takes time. So in my early years, I used to go, God, nobody could ever sell as good as me. And I'd bring someone on, see, they suck. Right. And I'd have all these false beliefs essentially built around it. And then finally I got to a place and I said, because part of it was expectation. I was expecting people to perform to my standard, to perform to my level. Mm-hmm. And finally I got to a point. I think I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I got sick of like having to wear 12 hats and one of them being sales. When I knew of other people, if there are other people out there who have a sales team and have good salespeople and have great salespeople that produce revenue or rainmakers, in fact, and those companies operate without the owner needing to be involved in sales at all.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't I? Mm-hmm. And so finally, I forget, I was probably 7-8 years into business. Finally, when I got to a place where I was like, you know what? I need to duplicate myself, create a system around selling. And that's what mm-hmm. I fell in love with, was the idea of systematizing the sales process, right? And so I started creating scripts and I started creating roadmaps, outlines for our salespeople to be able to follow. Mm-hmm. And an amazing thing happened initially. People didn't perform to my standard and I got really irritated and pissed.
Huh?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I moved away from it being attached to them being as what I thought to be as good as me.
Mm-hmm.
What ended up happening is I started attracting talent.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone shared with me this analogy, right? He said, one of my mentors said, you know, it's like the movie business, right? You can choose to be an actor for your whole life and you can make good money as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes the most money, the actor or the movie studios? And very clearly for me, I was like, well, the movie studios. Well, if you want to make the bigger money, you need to do what that level of thinking produces.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that video or that movie studio isn't involved in the acting. Get out of the acting. In other words, wearing the hat of a sales rep,
mm-hmm.
right? And that made a lot of sense. And then there's, of course, a hierarchy in between the movie or the studio and the actors. So there's actors, there's directors, there's mm-hmm. producers, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Then you've got the studio, right? But the studio can produce 10 films and 9 of them be a loser and 1 be a huge mega hit like an Avatar kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they make hundreds of millions of dollars, even with 9 losers. But if you're an actor and you have a run of 9 bad movies, you're out of that industry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when that was shared with me, Josh, years ago, it made a lot of sense. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get myself out of playing this actor and I'm going to work to move up the ladder in my own company. And mm-hmm. I'm going to own it and take response. And so the scripts I looked at also, like, these are the scripts you give an actor. Like when any actor gets a script, they don't use it word for word, right?
Mm-hmm.
They use it, but they become a character and they do have a little bit of flexibility within the script and they massage it to their person and to their, mm-hmm. their ability to act, just like what I found with salespeople. And what I found when I got to a final healthy place of this, my business grew. Ultimately, we grew one of our companies. We grew to almost 200 employees, of which over 125 or 140 people were in sales.
Wow.
Many of them were way, way better than me, but that would have never happened had I not made this mind shift. That company ultimately became one that I was able to sell
mm-hmm.
and exit for a nice multiple and enjoy the fruits of my labor.
Mm-hmm.
It started with that. Yeah.
The paradigm shift. Well, that's very interesting. So I got to ask you about it because it's on your bio and I don't know the whole story yet. In your bio, it talks about a health issue you had, kind of an emergency in your entrepreneurial journey. I'm guessing it's because you're working so much. When that happened, what changed for you with regards to business and life, and how did that transform you?
Oh, wow. So there's, we could spend hours on this. So the short version is, imagine building a company. This mm-hmm. particular company is, what I had built up, and building it to a couple million a month, 175 or more employees, a couple offices, and you had a nice run of momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a daughter that's 2 and you have a son that was just born a few weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Life is good, right? Except you wake up and you have chest pains and then you call your doctor and he says, go get yourself over and take a preventative approach and let's check this out. You go into the hospital, they start taking some vitals and then all chaos breaks loose. They get you on a gurney, they rush you into a room, more tests all day. another day, then they do a surgery. You have to sign a disclaimer. It says you have a 1 in X chance of dying on the table with this heart procedure. What would you do? For me, it freaked me out, right? And it got me to really, really evaluate everything I was doing. First of all, I had a lot of bad health habits, right? I was working 100 hours a week for a decade. I had slept on an average 2 to 4 hours a night. Being an obsessive, compulsive, type A entrepreneur. And, you know, bought into the idea of about hustle and you can sleep when you're dead and all this stuff. And literally, I drove myself to that place and was on the verge of it. And when I was in that hospital, I went through all kinds of emotions, Josh, right? It was a scary time. And, you know, of course, you usually, like, I don't know about anybody, but for me, I had a like come to God talk and God, if I get out of this, then here's the shifts I'm going to make. I'm going to do it different. I'm going to do it better. And I did. And I came out of it. And thankfully, knock on wood, I mean, I'm about 75 pounds less today than I was then. Right.
Wow.
I sleep on average 6 to 7 hours a day. Right. So I'm far healthier than I've ever been. I eat much better. Right. I, you know, just have better, healthier boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But what started it, Josh, was the mindset around it. And I've always had coaches from the very beginning. Like one of the things I've been willing to do that most people weren't at a young age, especially, was to, you know, invest in coaching. I've always believed coaching is the best investment because we're our best investment. I learned that when I was brought up from the time I was six or seven with a coach. Mm-hmm. And I've always had coaching. You know, everybody that's successful that I know of today has coaches around them and leverages that coach. So I hired a coach, another coach. I've invested close to $1 million or more in my own education or consulting or all the things over the years. So I hired another coach at this time and I had her work with me. And so she got me to understand three critical questions that I'd love to share because they had such a deep, profound impact on me. And I live with these three questions. Everything I do is filtered through these three questions today. So the first question is, what do I want? Right? So as you're watching or listening right now, I encourage you write this down. What do I want? Meaning, what do you want? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, there may be a tendency. And I'll just speak to me. I won't project this on you. But when I sat down and did this with her in her office, her name's Dr. Christy Lopez. She's also here locally. And I wrote the question and one answer on the piece of paper, and then I stared at her. And I drew a blank.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been through a lot of personal development up to this point, hundreds of thousands, half a million, close to 750,000 probably in investment at this point. And I was staring at her, very uncomfortable, really tuning into what do I want? And because there was a tendency for me to evaluate it, Josh, on like, what do my kids want? What do my family want? I had 200 employees. I had all these responsibilities, all of this weight. And truth be told, she excused me from our session. And then I went home and I had another session a few days later and I blew her off because I couldn't think of any. And I did that for a couple weeks.
Wow. Okay.
And finally came back in with some semblance of like an architecture. And then she asked me the next question, which is, who are you? Right?
Mm-hmm. Deep questions. Okay.
And like my tendency was I'd put the labels on CEO, founder, media, angel, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, not that stuff. Not even dad, not even husband, none of that. Like, who are you as a human being? Not the human doing, but the human being. So deeper characteristics as a human being that you live with.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually, you know, was slightly easier. And then the third question ultimately we got to was, what do you stand for? What's your values? And we hear about great companies have great core values, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're going to build a great company for the long term, you want to have strong core values. And, you know, many people have heard the Zappos story and their core value process, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you haven't, no big deal. Like, what would happen for you if you had your family values and or your personal values identified? And so we went through this process, Josh, and it gave me deep, deep clarity on like who I was, what I wanted, what I stood for. And what it really helped me do is understand that my not to do list becomes way more important than my to do list.
Mm-hmm.
Who I choose not to work with and who I choose not to associate with is more important than those who I do associate with, and being vigilant about those boundaries and It's just a healthier operating system, right? And so for me, this was a huge breakthrough. And it reminds me of a quote from Tim Ferriss, which I believe goes something like, if you want a breakthrough, be willing to break something, right? Joe Polish, I've heard say, you know, in order to get a breakthrough, be willing to destroy anything that isn't excellent, right? And this process of these three questions allows you to filter through, like who do you want to work with? What do you want to be doing? And so for me at that time, Josh, what ended up happening, I decided I didn't want to have this big, giant company with all these employees and such. So it was a big part of me deciding to sell and exit. And within 18 months of this, I ended up putting the company up and I ended up selling and exiting it. And I was incredibly blessed, of course, anytime you go through an experience like that. And then I got a chance to really work on my health and be a dad. I was able to be really present with my kids and really start to tune in to the things that matter most. Mm-hmm. And but that journey for me was one of those scares that turned into significance and had a profound impact. So,
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that. That's really valuable. I wrote those questions down. Just because of time, I've got a couple other questions that I want to get to. First being, you know, after all of this experiences and all of the companies you could help, what intrigues you now? Because, you know, you as an angel investor, humanitarian, dad, all of this experience, like what kind of projects do you like to work on and why?
So it's filtered through these questions. Simple version, I love paying it forward, right? I've got a certain amount of body of work that learning with my own companies, but then helping all these different entrepreneurs. A lot of businesses are just stuck at building that systematic, predictable flow of clients, right? And I love that. And I love being a coach and I love helping entrepreneurs kind of break through that challenge or that obstacle or that danger. As far as the type of companies, people who respect marketing and selling, right, are really an important value. People who are really a core value is being growth oriented, being stretched, being challenged, right? The way they view and look at things. And also those who are looking to have a transformational impact, right? Because it takes just as much work to have a 1% impact than it does to have a 10 times impact, which I think I first heard from like Naveen Jain and or Peter Diamandis or both in their own way. Those are a couple of the criteria that we look for. We work with a lot of different industries and have, right? You know, you mentioned 180 different niche industries, but it's we like working with growth type industries. But I love working with business owners who really just want to get to that next level. I think that's a really critical thing in an exponential way.
So what would you say is the main difference between a company that just grows steadily and one that does make that exponential growth? Like what is the unique thing that they do differently?
Yeah, it'll be different based on the size of it. Let's say it's a company that's under 20 million a year, right? And let's say it's even probably, you know, depending on the core as you're listening or watching right now, let's say your business is at, you know, a couple $100,000 a year, right? To a million a year. The biggest difference is putting an automated marketing and selling system in place, right? Mm-hmm. Now there are other scaling issues with that, which is what Josh and his company are so good at. And if you're working in his community, you're getting the foundation and the fundamentals and the system concepts in place. Because I meet a lot of businesses we have to say no to because we go, hey, if we helped you double in the next 12 months, which happens kind of regularly with us, if we helped you double, could you handle it? And many times we would break the business if they double.
Yeah, implode, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the good part about your like what Josh and his team and his company are helping you do is you're ready to handle that scaling. But the biggest, like we'll call it the domino, the one domino that'll tip over 1,000 from our perspective, and or the little hinge that'll swing a big door, big heavy door, giant door, is having a marketing and selling system in place.
Yep, I couldn't agree more, and I think that's why I'm so excited to have you on this podcast is because when I work with companies and they're having this steady growth and we're working all the different systems and the fundamentals, I let them know that you can't structure yourself into massive scalable growth. You really have to focus on, and we've got a module called growth systems, but that's a key ingredient. I mean, you can't, if you get a little bit more efficient, it's not going to take you to that next level. You do have to figure out like you have an automated selling system that's going to allow you to scale. And until you get that, you're just going to be kind of getting more efficient, but still staying small. And that's not as exciting as getting big, like the way you do.
Yeah, and big isn't always better, mm-hmm. right? Big isn't always better. The key is, you know, what do you want, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's where these three fundamental questions come in. Like, what do you really want? You know, getting bigger just for the sake of getting bigger, there is a DNA trait in that. And there's certain people, like if I mention names, you would know who they are, that mm-hmm. like, that's their obsession, is just getting bigger. And it, you know, chances are as an entrepreneur, you're driven by contribution. You want to make a big impact. Well, at the same time, what would it be worth if not only could you make a big impact, but you could do it with more, with far less stress, mm-hmm. right? Far less angst every month that you're starting back at zero, right? That you had predictability, that you had a steady flow of clients or revenue that was coming in, and it wasn't predicated on your effort. I brought up Joe Polish earlier. Joe brought, you know, he's like one of the most brilliant people in marketing in the world. And he brought me and our company in, and we came in mm-hmm. and he tripled his business. And now he gets to be able to spend time on his pet projects, one of them being addiction, because he feels he's got a much bigger calling. Mm-hmm. But he's still able to serve his clients incredibly well. But now he has a system that brings him 100 candidates for what he does every single month. And it's not predicated on him networking or him hustling or his personal right. charm, you know, that sort of stuff. And that's what a good system of marketing and selling will do to complement this, the ability to scale. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've gotten through about 20% of my questions. So I'll have to have you on some other time in the future.
Is that your polite way of saying you're very long-winded?
All good stuff. I didn't want to stop you because you were on a flow. But you know, I have to ask you, for those who are interested in learning more about what you do and how they can, you know, develop their own sales and marketing systems, where can they find you and where can they find more information?
Yeah, I would say the simplest way to go is if you want to, you know, have some proven strategies that are the most current, up-to-date that we're working with our clients. We have a free, 100% free on-demand training that we rotate, Josh. Mm-hmm. And your tribe can get access to that by going to championbusinessblueprint.com. That's championbusinessblueprint.com. At the time of this recording, I believe the on-demand training is around the unusual three-step social media method, right, to triple mm-hmm. your business without more costs, more staff, or even having to do social media posts, which sounds counterintuitive, and it is. And so that free training is available right now at championbusinessblueprint.com. And if it's later, we'll have another on-demand training, which is relevant to the most current things we're working on with our clients now.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, I'll make sure to link to that at the bottom on our website. And Dan, I just want to say, you know, thanks again for sharing your wisdom, great advice. I took a ton of notes. Hopefully you did too. And everybody, looking forward to seeing you next week on the podcast where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Josh.